It doesn't come from above. Foundationally, that's its problem. It doesn't come from God. James says, do you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. That's where wisdom comes from.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
You and I in this critical age need a healthy dose of God's wisdom, and I might suggest we need a godly contempt for man's wisdom. I believe Paul had that. I believe you'll find that in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the second chapter. We need a healthy dose of God's wisdom and a godly contempt for man's wisdom. I think it's altogether too frequent that man's wisdom has a way of rubbing off on modern Christians. I don't think it happens consciously, but I think it happens subconsciously. We kind of phase into it, kind of gradually move into it. We need a healthy dose of God's wisdom, and we need a godly contempt for man's wisdom. We ought to all be hungry. We ought all to be hungry to share in the wisdom of God and to apply it in all areas of our lives. I believe that James gives, and there are many ways of looking at this passage, but I believe that James gives two significant insights regarding this precious commodity we call wisdom in this passage. He gives two significant insights in James, the third chapter, in verses 13 to 18. The first thing I see here is the proof of true wisdom. It's in verse 13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge and endued with knowledge among you? That's the inquiry. He asks a very pointed question. Who is a wise man? That's his inquiry. Then he gives us an insight regarding the answer to that question. James asks the question, that's the inquiry, then he gives us an insight, he gives us an answer to the question. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness, the kind of meekness that grows out of wisdom. If he's truly wise, and if he's really an expert, then he will demonstrate it on a practical basis in his life. In fact, James says he'll exhibit two things. If you notice carefully, in verse 13, number one, he must exhibit right deeds. If he claims to have wisdom, he must demonstrate it. He must, number one, exhibit right deeds. Number two, he must exhibit a right disposition or attitude toward life. Not only, James says, must he exhibit right deeds, he must also exhibit a right disposition. Do you notice? Let him show, let him bring to light out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom, or the kind of meekness that grows out of wisdom. Meekness is the natural accompaniment of wisdom, James says. Where there is no meekness, there is no wisdom. A man may be able to talk. He might even be able to do certain things. He may be able to say and do, but does he combine it with the right disposition, the right attitude? Any contentiousness? Any arrogance? James says. Any tendency to self-assertion, I'm going to promote myself. Any desire to glory or boast over others or show himself superior to others in a contemptuous fashion is an infallible sign, an incontrovertible sign. It cannot be spoken against that the essential qualifications of wisdom are lacking. He doesn't have wisdom. He might have knowledge. He might have insight. He might even have certain talents and gifts. He can say certain things and he can do certain things, but if there is no meekness, there's no wisdom. A meek man is a man who is never emotionally, verbally, or morally out of control. He has strength and power and control, emotionally, verbally, and morally. So there, says James, is the proof of true wisdom. Now, James says, I want you to understand this subject a little more precisely. Very critical that we integrate true wisdom into our lives. So he goes from the proof of true wisdom to the properties of two wisdoms. And he analyzes for us and contrasts in the space of four or five verses the true and the false wisdom, the human and the heavenly wisdom, the divine and the diabolical wisdom. First of all, their source. Now, the source of human wisdom is given in verse 15. The source of human wisdom is given in verse 15. This wisdom, human wisdom, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's its source. Generally, he says, it descendeth not from above. In other words, it doesn't come from God. That's what's wrong with it. Any wisdom that doesn't come from God is suspect. We should have a healthy dose and a deep reverence for God's wisdom and a godly contempt for man's wisdom. Any body of principles, any system of values, any ideas that contradict God's principles in Scripture, any behavioral patterns that do not conform to God's Word, we have a godly contempt for them. A godly contempt for them. It doesn't come from above. Foundationally, that's its problem. It doesn't come from God. James says, do you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. That's where wisdom comes from. But human wisdom does not come from above. Where does it come from? Specifically, he tells us where it comes from. He says, number one, it's atheistic. It's earthly. Number two, it's animalistic. It's sensual. Means the animal principle. Number three, it's spiritistic. It's demonic, devilish. Its external source, it's earthly. Its internal source, it's sensual or natural. Its infernal source, it's devilish or demonic. It comes from hell. That's what he says. That's the threefold source of human wisdom. It's earthly. Its standards and its sources are limited to and restricted by the horizons of this globe. It cuts off God. That's why it's atheistic. It won't listen to God's revelation. It just abruptly sets it aside. No, we don't listen to that. It cuts off God. It's earthly. It's upon this earth. That's what the Greek word means. Epigeos. It means upon this earth. It's limited to and restricted by the horizons of this globe. The Bible says there is a wisdom of this world, but it rejects the gospel of Christ. It is considered mere foolishness by God. It grows out of human reason rather than divine revelation and will ultimately come to nothing. You read all of those ideas in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 21. It's earthly. And then he says it's sensual. That's the internal source. It's almost animalistic. You know, the Greek word is psychē. The Greeks thought of the psychē. We use it for psychology in our world. The Greeks thought of psychē as the physical life principle, that which we have in common with the beast. Now, we do have a physical life principle. And in that sense, we do have a common bridge to the beast, but we have much more. We have a mind, will, and emotions. We're self-determining individuals. We have a self-consciousness far above that of the animals. And we have a pneuma, a spirit, which makes us relatable to God. But we also have this psychē, the physical life principle, that which we have in common with the beast. James is saying, when he uses that word psychē, when he uses that word, James is saying that the wrong kind of wisdom is no more than an animal thing, as though it were almost animalistic and totally unspiritual and uninfluenced by the Spirit of God and devoid of true spiritual impulses. That's why it's so impotent. That's why we shouldn't abide by it. And then finally, he says it's devilish. That's the infernal source. Man's wisdom, James says, man's wisdom does not belong to heaven. It descendeth not from above. And though it belongs to this earth and to man's own fallen interior nature, it doesn't belong primarily to that source. Primarily, it comes from hell. It's devilish. It's demonic, literally. In other words, man, modern man, unbelieving man, fallen man, apart from God, is not nearly as autonomous and independent as he thinks. His thoughts and his wisdom, all of his arguments against the existence or the relevance of God, are not original with him. They are as old as the Garden of Eden. They originated in the mind of Satan. Modern philosophies are nothing other than echoes from the distant past. They come right out of, in a sense, the pit of hell. The old arguments with new clothing, that's all they are. But James says that isn't true of the heavenly wisdom. He says the heavenly wisdom comes from God. You notice the first part of verse 17, but the wisdom which is from above, and then he gives the properties of it, the marks of it, or the characteristic of it. It's the wisdom which comes from God the Father, ultimately. It comes through God the Son, immediately. It comes through God the Spirit immediately as he takes up residence within us. And it comes through God's Word practically. As we absorb God's Word into our lives, that is our wisdom, the Scripture says. And that is our understanding. You read it in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. God's Word absorbed into our spirit practically is our wisdom. That is your wisdom, Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. And that is our understanding in the sight of the nations, Moses could say. And that's true in our day and age as well. Now let's look at the substance of these two wisdoms very quickly. Let's look at the substance. We've seen their source. They have a contrast in source. Now let's look at the substance of these two wisdoms. We want to avoid this one wisdom like the plague. We want to integrate this other wisdom into our lives. Now the substance is stated in verse 14 and verse 17. The characteristics, the marks of these two wisdom. The marks of false wisdom are given in verse 14, and they're threefold. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, as I look at that verse, those are the marks of false wisdom, man's wisdom, human wisdom, devilish and demonic wisdom. What are they? What are the marks of false wisdom? I'd list them in this way. Number one, whenever you have false wisdom, you have at least these three marks. Number one, there is discontent, bitter envying. Number one, you have discontent. It means resentful jealousy, the idea. The word bitter there, resentful, means deep-seated, long-lasting, slow-burning resentment, poisonous resentment, bitter envying, or resentful jealousy, unbridled selfishness, the kind of thing that wishes that it had what others have, and along with that, it wishes that others had never gotten it in the first place. Meanness of soul, bitter envying. It's a mark of the false wisdom. Shatters the unity that Jesus Christ died to give us, and it permeates our world, and there's a sense in which it rubs off on some of God's people. Bitter envying. It's discontent. Secondly, there is not only is there discontent, there's discord, strife. Not only is there discontent as a mark of false wisdom, there's also discord, strife. Erethea is the Greek word. It's the word that describes the party spirit. It was used by the Greeks to describe a politician who was out canvassing for votes for his party. It is the self-seeking, selfishly ambitious spirit, the voice of a leader or the vice of a leader, of a party or a group created for his own glory and for his own pride. The man who makes speeches in his own defense. Whenever a man argues in order to demolish his opponent rather than to win him or to help him, you can expect that there is erethea, there is strife, there is discord. And then there's a third mark of false wisdom, not only discontent and disorder, but finally deceit. That's why James says here, glory not and lie not against the truth. There's always deceit attached to false wisdom. Glory not, the word means boast not and lie not against the truth. Nothing is prouder than the wisdom of men. Whenever you find false wisdom, you find right at the heart of it shameless boasting. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. But you know, boasting always has a way of exaggerating and inflating the statistics and the stories. So the transition from boasting to lying is a perfectly natural transition. Human wisdom is always false to the truth. Boast not, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Human wisdom is always false to the truth, and it finds no conviction at all in running roughshod over the truth. You know, these are terrible marks. These are terrible marks, and yet every one of them, discontent, bitter envying, discord, strife, and deceit, glorying and lying against the truth, either verbally or in our practical living. Every one of those terrible marks which characterizes false wisdom can on occasion creep into New Testament Christianity. There are Christians who are constantly discontented, constantly sowing discord, and using deceptive means to gain access to their own ways. James says, don't allow these things to come into your life. Here is the false wisdom. It comes from the very pit of hell. Whatever you do, don't allow these marks of the false wisdom to characterize you.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Do we, through our lifestyle, what we say and what we do and the way in which we do it, do we bring men closer to God and closer to one another? That's true wisdom.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.